Hello and welcome to What the Heck? Strange, Spooky, and Confusing Tales, the brand new podcast about stories that make us go, What the Heck? I'm Victoria Howard.
And I'm Laura Munson. As the title suggests, this is a brand new podcast where we will be telling stories from throughout the world and throughout history that are just weird. We're going to be telling some ghost stories, some crime stories, urban legends, cryptid legends, funny stories, and basically anything that would make us say,
What the heck? So let's just quickly introduce ourselves. My name is Victoria, and this is the second time we are recording this pilot episode because I severely fucked up the first recording.
So it's okay. Mistakes happen, and we learn from them.
We do. We learn from them. And now, I personally am feeling a lot more comfortable behind the mic.
Honestly, I think this is going to be even better than the first episode of the first episode was.
Yes, I agree. So tell me a little about yourself, Laura.
Well, I just recently graduated from Winthrop University in Rock Hill, South Carolina, with a BS in Integrated Marketing Communication and a minor in theater. And I'm an Aquarius, and...
You're neat.
I'm pretty neat.
Yeah.
And I'm originally from Greenville.
Ah, yes. Oh, a prelude, perhaps, to what we have coming. I realize I should tell you possibly a little bit more about myself personally. I am also a student at Winthrop University, or I guess not also. You graduated. You're a graduate.
I was a student. I
am studying the same thing as Laura, Integrated Marketing Communication, and it definitely sounds very impressive, but I think we can both say that it is not nearly as cool as it sounds.
I think it's as cool as it sounds.
I mean, it's definitely really cool.
It's very useful. My only problem with it is when you go to a family event and there's a bunch of people who watched you grow up from a child and they say, so what are you majoring in? You can't just say history or business.
It's like integrated marketing communications.
And then they go,
what's that?
You're what?
Like, advertising, marketing, and PR all rolled up into one.
With a little bit of, I like to say it's like mass comm and marketing.
I feel like no one knows what mass comm is, though.
Mass communication.
Communication.
Communication on a mass scale.
On a massive scale. Me and Laura met at Winthrop. We met, I'm gonna be quite frank, we met extremely drunk.
And that is why we were so close?
Yes, we were both sitting on the floor of a friend's
home.
Definitely not a dorm. Definitely not drinking in an on-campus dorm.
We were being so good.
We were so good. We were, you know, definitely not doing anything illegal.
Absolutely not. What are you talking about?
I have no idea.
We're
so
good kids.
We are. We met there, and I think that just tells you everything you need to know about our relationship and why we started. What the heck?
What the heck?
What the heck?
We got this idea while riding down the road listening to My Favorite Murder, and we started thinking about podcasts that make us happy.
So if you notice any inspiration from anywhere, you're probably correct. And I will be accrediting those podcasts as I come along them in my own stories. All right, Laura, you gonna tell us a little spooky tale?
Yes, we are going to be telling a lot of different categories of stories, but categories of stories... Today, we are going to be talking about a very spooky ghost story.
Ooh.
And most of these stories are going to be not very personal. They're going to be from throughout the country, throughout the world. But I decided that my first story that I want to tell is going to be a more personal one.
Which we love.
Yes. I experienced some spookiness, or I experienced people telling me about spookiness in the building that we were in. I'm going to be telling the story of the hauntings at the Greenville Theater in Greenville, South Carolina.
Ooh.
Formerly known as the Greenville Little Theater, but I'll get into that more. And my sources that I've been using for that are mostly hearsay, mostly things that people have told me firsthand, but also the Greenville Theater blog on greenvilletheater.org. It was a post written by Jamie Walter, who interviewed some of the theater staff and published their stories. So shout out to Jamie. Thank you for writing this wonderful collection of spookage. And away we go. I should also mention that the entire theater community has been very much impacted by the coronavirus pandemic, and the Greenville Theater is no different. It's a nonprofit theater and they rely mostly on donations. So if you would like to support the Greenville Theater, go to greenvilletheater.org, and there's a donation link right there.
Yes, and we can mention it again at the end, because I feel like after they hear about some of these personalities that you're about to tell us, they will feel even more inclined to donate, so we can keep those personalities alive.
I mean, yeah.
Alive in a fun, metaphorical sense.
You're going to be supporting all the personalities here.
Yes.
A little bit of history, just to give you some backstory, because all spooky stories have a little bit of history behind them. The Greenville Theater was, as I said, originally the Greenville Little Theater, which back in the day, that basically meant any theater that was off-Broadway, any community theater, on a mostly smaller scale. And in 2019, it changed to Greenville Theater because that better reflected what the theater is, because it's pretty big and pretty awesome.
Heck yeah.
It was, I think I mentioned before, the first community theater in the upstate of South Carolina to put on a production of Les Miserables. Mm-hmm. And I worked Spotlight.
Wow, a famous lady.
Of probably 15 or 16. So aww, that was really
a baby.
Cool. I was a baby.
A baby.
I was pointing lights.
Wow.
And it was so much fun. So, it was established.
Pretending he's beside me. Okay.
Our
just Ebony, had to let that one out there.
Our Ebony had made me feel the feels. She's wonderful. Everybody in it was wonderful.
R.I.P. Ebony.
R.I.P. Ebony. Greenville Theater was established. I'm glad we're re-recording. We're finding new and interesting things.
We definitely are.
Yes, this is a different episode. So
it is.
Greenville Theater was established in 1926, performing in various locations, including the Greenville Women's College, which at the time was located in a location called Heritage Green, which now houses the library, the Greenville Art Museum, Children's Theater, and, as I will later mention, the Greenville Theater. So, after a while, they started performing mostly at Greenville High School in the 1940s, and many of the shows were directed by one of the teachers at the high school, Bob McLean.
Okay.
And a quick little tidbit, if you are one of our older listeners, you may know of the actress Joanne Woodward, who actually got her start performing as a teenager at Greenville High School for Greenville Little Theater in the 1940s.
That is wild. Can I ask, what is she known for? Like, would I know her from anything?
I'm trying to think. I really should have looked into her more. I just added her.
Oh, no, it's okay. I mean, like, I know nothing about anything. So it's totally okay when you don't know things.
I know she was in an adaptation of the movie Sybil. It's mostly films from the 70s and the 80s.
Very, oh, that makes sense.
But she's a very successful actress. So
fantastic. Congratulations.
She's amazing. So 1948, the theater finally gets a permanent location on Lowndes Hill Road. And Bob McLean quits his job at the high school to become the full-time artistic director of
the Greenville. And that's at the Women's College, right?
No, this is their permanent location. They
was it not at the Women's College?
No, they started off at the Women's College, but then they moved to a different location. But then they went back to Heritage Green later.
Wow. Yes. Okay, see, this is my second time listening to this story, and I still have no idea what's happening. So I'm glad you're retelling it to
so
me.
So it's great. It's so much fun. We're going to know so much today. So
we know so many things.
They're in their first permanent location, they're having a great old time, and they start to outgrow it. So in the late 1960s, they make the move to Heritage Green, the former
site. That's when that happened.
Of the Greenville Women's College,
wow.
Which had merged with Furman University. And they built a brand spanking new building.
Ooh.
That has been there since the 1960s.
Cute.
And that is where the Greenville Theater is today. So in 1976, Bob McLean, the original artistic director, retires, and the theater changes hands for a few years up until 1993, when Alan and Suzanne McCullough come in as the artistic directors, and they are wonderful people. Shout out to the McCulloughs. Dear friends to my family.
Aww,
I forgot to mention
that
I, like I said, I know a lot of people at this theater, and I know most of the characters I will be referencing here. So the McCulloughs, wonderful, really awesome, have really built up the theater to what it is today. So
love that.
And then in 1997, fun fact, a 33-year-old actress takes the stage in their production of Oliver as an ensemble member. Her name is Beth Munson, and she is pregnant with me. So
your first performance.
My first performance, just nobody saw me because I was an embryo.
An embryo.
Yes.
You were there, though.
I was there.
I hope that's on your resume.
It really should be. but it's hard to explain, so I'm explaining it now so people can listen to this podcast.
Yeah, just direct them here.
Yes, it's fine. And then in 2019, they finally changed their name to Greenville Theater, and then I did an internship there, and it was really fun. So, wonderful, wonderful place. I love the Greenville Theater, very near and dear to my heart. And as most old buildings are, it is haunted. It is so haunted. It is extremely haunted.
Ooh.
One of the hauntedest places in the upstate, I would probably say. I mean, there's a lot of haunted places, but it's very haunted.
Spooky.
Spooky, spooky, spooky. Basically, overview of the hauntedness of this theater. Parts of the auditorium, you'll be standing there and it'll just feel like someone is there with you when no one human is.
Oh.
Things in the theater will just move. Lights will malfunction or blow. Sinks will turn on that, you know, they're the types of sinks that you have to physically pull the lever. And there have been a couple instances that I will get into more detail where people have heard loud banging from underneath the stage where the basement is.
Oh.
It's basically storage for costumes and props and anything that the theater needs to store. But, you know, it's a little spooky under there.
It's kind of a basement.
Dark. Yeah, it's a spooky dark basement and it is haunted.
Present to me one basement that isn't incredibly spooky. I dare you.
I can't think of one.
Every really single basement, finished or not, terrifying.
Yes, and this one is especially terrifying, but it's also
kind of
nice. Yes, because
it's in a theater. I guess it would be nice to see all those costumes and stuff.
Yeah, it's really, honestly, the vibes aren't so bad down there. Sometimes I have changed down there for different things, and I really don't feel, I feel like the ghosts see people changing down there and turn their eyes. Like, that's, I can't explain it, but that's the energy I get. I feel like they go, oh, sorry.
They're polite.
Yeah, I feel like they're very polite ghosts. Whenever I've had to work down there sometimes and look for props, and I have not felt threatened at all. I feel like the ghosts are just like, ah, yes.
A child.
I was a child at the time. Yes. Probably like 16, but I was a child. Part of the reason it is so very haunted is, remember the Greenville Women's College?
Oh, yes.
It has been around for quite some, or it was around for a very, very long time, including during the Civil War. And people in Greenville, you know, Greenville being in the South and all, in South Carolina, they decided to rebel against the Union and start a war.
Fantastic.
And that causes people to get injured, so a lot of places were converted to military hospitals, including the Greenville Women's College. So that place where the theater stands now was the site of a Civil War hospital.
Oh.
And many of those cells from the Confederacy apparently did not leave.
Oh, okay.
There have
Yep, just keep going.
So nobody's really sure how many ghosts there are. There could be a bunch of ghosts. There could be just one ghost who wears a lot of hats.
I would respect that.
That would be pretty cool. It is widely believed that there are two very specific ghosts, and then either a third one or just a little ghost host. A little host of ghosts.
This is I.
Your ghost host.
Your ghost host. That's probably copyrighted.
It's probably copyrighted. That is...
anyways.
I said ghost toast.
Ghost toast.
Toast for ghosts.
Toast for ghosts. This podcast is sponsored by Ghost Toast.
Yes.
Toast for ghosts.
Because even ghosts want toast. Yes. Including the two ghosts that everybody can pretty much agree on there being like, this is a particular ghost who does this thing.
Ah.
One of them is called Nancy.
An icon.
And Nancy is an icon. We love Nancy.
We stan.
And nobody really knows who she is or where she came from, but all they know is she is a woman wearing a dress, sometimes said to wear a white dress, and she's one of the only ones who appears to people. And she's seen throughout the theater, but specifically, one of the first sightings of Nancy was during a production where an actress was on stage doing a show and just saw an audience member get up out of their seat and walk on stage in the middle of the show. And afterwards, the actress was asking around, saying, hey, did you see this woman? And many people said, oh, you saw the ghost. You saw Nancy. I'm not sure how Nancy got her name. That's just kind of what people call her.
Nancy Drew.
Maybe. I don't know. But there are a lot of theories about Nancy. Some say that maybe she was a fan. Maybe she was a student at the Women's College. Maybe she was a performer. Or even possibly a Civil War nurse.
Perhaps she's just a bad bitch.
Maybe she is just a bad bitch. I mean, we know for a fact that she is a bad bitch.
True.
Because
does anything else matter then?
I don't think so. But we can speculate about Nancy.
Okay.
I think she'll allow that.
Okay.
Because here's the thing. Nancy does not take any shit. Nancy.
As a woman should not.
Nancy is not to be trifled with.
Good.
And that is another reason that she is so well known throughout the theater, is that she has an effect on things. And anyone who has ever done theater will know that the vibes really gotta be right You really gotta, there's a reason that theater people are so superstitious, is because anything can happen and it can go very, very wrong or it can go very, very right because it is in front of an audience.
Very fun. And similarly, this podcast is not recorded in front of a live studio audience.
Or else the live studio audience would be very confused as to why we're talking about the same thing twice.
Exactly.
So,
glad you picked up what I was putting down there, Laura.
So there have been instances where people have been a little less than fully respectful of Nancy backstage. People who aren't...
That's disgraceful.
People who aren't very superstitious. People who think it's all just some hocus pocus. And disgrace. Then, for lack of a better phrase, shit will go down. There's a tradition of giving Nancy flowers on opening night because she... in her little ghosty way, we'll see that everyone's getting flowers on opening night, and she kind of feels left out. So it's it's traditional to give her some flowers. And it is said that if you don't set aside some flowers just off to the side for Nancy, she will get a little pissed off.
I respect that. Yes.
So.
That's that. I'm speaking English.
Yes. So I was working crew for a production of Beauty and the Beast. And there's a little joking around, a little acting a fool backstage before the show, blowing off steam.
Which you should not do.
I mean, you can blow off steam, but you gotta be careful because somebody was a little disrespectful towards Nancy and was implying that maybe Nancy's not real. And everybody else who had been at the theater for more than one season was like,
yeah, we gotta... She's very real.
Nancy is very much real. During Act 1, a stage light blew... A light blew up in the women's dressing room. A door on stage ended up being locked that was not supposed to be, and nobody really knew who locked it. And the sound went out on Belle's in-ear monitor, so she missed her cue. Tons of technical difficulties.
Everything.
The vibes were off. People cried. It was bad. And that was our first performance in front of an audience. It was a preview performance for major donors to the theater, so people saw that. It was the night before opening. But people saw it.
And so Nancy got her revenge.
So Nancy was upset. During intermission, I went backstage. One of my fellow theater kid crew members looked at me and said, "Nancy's here." And I said, "Yes, Nancy is here.
Nancy is always here."
So then Act 2, it wasn't as bad. Act 2 went a little better because I think Nancy got her point across. The following night, it was opening night. We took some flowers and taped them to the wall, stage left, as Nancy's flowers, and... Everything went great.
See? So, that's what you get for respecting Nancy.
Basically, you know, you gotta be on your respect woman hours, and that includes respecting Nancy.
Yes.
And Nancy is very close to my heart, because obviously this theater is very close to my heart, and Nancy comes with it. So, I have a tattoo of a ghost, fun fact, and his name is Nancy.
I love Nancy for many reasons.
Tattoo ghost.
Nancy the tattoo ghost, and I love Nancy of the Greenville Theater.
Yes. So everybody who's been around the theater for a little while knows Nancy. Nancy feels like a member of the family, and Nancy is that member of the family that you really gotta be careful with because she will fuck your shit up.
Oh my god, she's like the extra crazy aunt.
She's like the aunt that it's like, okay.
No, she's grandma.
She's like...
Grandma will fuck your shit up.
She's like, she'll fuck your shit up, but you deserve it.
Yes.
It's like she pulls out her... shoe and just smacks you with it. Like,
she's like, get in line.
Mm-hmm.
You're acting out of sorts. All right.
So the other ghost that is very distinct is sometimes called the green ghost, but is also commonly...
Is he green?
I don't know if he's green. People keep calling him the green ghost, and I have never bothered to ask if he's actually green. I'm assuming he looks a little green. Maybe it's the stage lighting, because it's... That kind of distorts the way you see things from the stage. Sometimes I can't see the audience at all whenever I'm on stage.
That's kind of intimidating.
Yeah. But I also haven't acted on a proscenium in a while. A proscenium is the stage where everyone's just facing forward.
The classic stage.
The classic stage.
That many of us know.
Yes. So, yeah. I haven't been on one of those in a minute. Whenever I act, it's usually in a black box. A very small, intimate space. But anyway... So, the green ghost. Imagine this, if you will. You're on the stage, the big proscenium stage at night. You look out across the around 20 rows of seats.
I see an image in my head.
Cavernous 571-seat old theater.
It's very clear.
It's very dark, eerily quiet, and you see a man sitting at the very back where there was not a man before.
I don't like it.
Yeah. Nobody else like did either.
Also, wait, if he is glowing green, I don't like that even more.
Yeah, I don't think...
I extra don't like that.
I don't think he's glowing, because there have been people who saw him and almost called the cops, because they thought an actual man was sitting in the back of the theater.
Okay, maybe I hate that more.
Yeah, it's either way you turn it, it's either you think it's an actual man, or there is not supposed to be a man there. There was not a man there the last time I checked.
Oh, God, no.
It's just supposed to be, like, two... or three people in this theater in the middle of the night, because, you know, sometimes you're working on shows and it goes late and you gotta fix some stuff after rehearsal, or you're up till like 2 a.m. and then you see a ghost.
Yeah.
So, specific stories from this blog post by Miss Jamie Walters. It was close to 1 a.m. right after Alan and Suzanne McCullough had recently started working at Greenville Little Theater. So they are... the newly arrived artistic directors in this the 90s. Okay. They got there about 93, so this is probably 93 or 94.
Okay.
They were staying late to paint the stage floor when they look up and see a figure towards the back of the theater. Suzanne turned and said, Alan, do you see that? Alan then noticed the figure and promptly replied, we need to go.
Good.
They immediately left their materials and evacuated the theater for the evening.
I like the use of the word evacuate.
They left.
They said,
we're going home. And there's speculation that that was Bob McLean, the original artistic director of the Greenville Little Theater, checking in on them, the new artistic directors.
Making sure they were doing good.
Making sure they're doing a good job.
He doesn't have to be so menacing about it, though.
I mean, it's hard when you're a ghost.
Yeah, true.
It's hard when you're a ghost, because the reason many people believe it is Bob McLean is for that reason, and also because that's where he used to sit when he was watching shows.
Oh, so it's, like, definitely him.
Yeah, that was his spot. It's so him. Whenever people see that ghost, that's Bob McLean's spot. So people usually think it's him.
Makes sense. It's definitely him.
And it's speculated that he's watched a lot of dress rehearsals just to check in, see how everything's doing, see what his theater's become. And honestly, seeing what the theater has become... I think he would be happy.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like he's probably very happy with what's happened lately, because it's pretty awesome. So, but also that some complications have run in there, because that is also a seat that the concessions manager, Ronnie, likes to sit in.
Oh.
So one day, a former staff member named Katie, she was sitting at the very back and she felt hair move on her shoulder, like Ronnie, the concessions manager, had just come in and sat behind her. Mm-hmm. So she turned around to say, hey, Ronnie. No one's there.
No.
No one is there.
Mm-mm. No. No. God, the fact that she felt something physical. Like,
yeah, she really felt
someone touch her.
You feel the air move when somebody sits behind you, or even if they, like, brush up against you. That's what she felt.
Oh, my God. No.
And there was not a physical human person there.
No, thank you.
A thing that was happening. So that's spooky. And... so, yeah, that's the green ghost. And now, here are just the generic other unattributed to a specific ghost happenings that are also included in this blog post.
Spooky stories, but it's not Bob or Nancy.
Or maybe it is. We're not entirely sure.
Okay.
So, there was one night, a lot of the interviews in this blog post were conducted with Corey Graner, the lighting designer. Shout out to Corey. Wonderful, talented, fun guy.
Shout out, Corey.
And we are also about to discover that he is a little chaotic and very brave.
Oh, God. Sorry, I just recalled the story.
So, it's a late night, and Corey is working at the theater around 2 a.m. Mm-hmm. with another staff member named Eric.
Bad time.
Corey and Eric have just come back from getting some food.
Is 2 a.m. the witching hour?
No, it's 3 a.m.
Or is it 3 a.m.? Okay.
2 a.m. Sorry, is the ghosting hour. It's the spooky time hour. Wow. It's the you're up way too late because you're in an industry where people work very, very hard.
Yes.
Yes. So they start to hear footsteps and they say, uh-oh, maybe we forgot to close the backstage door and somebody came in. So they go backstage, they check the doors, everything is locked like they thought. So they said, it's 2 a.m., we're fine. This is fine.
No.
So they returned to the booth, which, for those of you who don't know, that is where all the buttons and switches and whatnot are that control the lights and the sounds. They continue to work, and apparently, according to Corey, there was a weird wait in the room as if something was not right.
Nope.
but they, again, attributed that to just, the vibes are off. So they continue to work. They're like, it's 2 a.m., we're tired, it's fine.
The vibes are off for a reason, my guy.
They continue to work because they are brave and dedicated to their jobs, and Corey began to notice that some of the lights he was programming were not responding anymore. And he said, I just assumed I was getting exhausted, so I ignored it and kept working.
Oh my god.
Then they heard loud footsteps coming above from the catwalks, which is where I used to be stationed when I was pointing lights everywhere. And that is where a lot of the lights are. So that's above the audience, for those of you who are not.
Yes.
Sure. Very high up, very scary. I had to overcome a fear of heights to get up there.
Oh god.
So they hear footsteps up there. Mm-mm. And mm-mm. Side note. It is also commonly believed that there is a ghost who has taken up residence up there, and people believe it is a Confederate soldier who used to patrol. Yeah, the racist dude, but from the past, he used to patrol the top of the hospital full of other racist dudes from the past who got boo-boos in battle. And all he knows is just walking around up high, patrolling.
That's horrifying.
And now he walks up there. I have never encountered him in all my times up there.
God, imagine, like, you go to fight for this war. Ends up being a really shit cause.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people you know die, including yourself. And then you're just, like, stuck going back and forth, walking forever.
Pretty much, yeah. Honestly, based on what I know about ghosts, he probably doesn't realize that he's just in a loop. He probably just...
I mean, yeah, but, like...
He probably is just going.
There's... Yeah, you're right, but like...
But he gets some free entertainment out of it. He probably is looking down going, that's weird. Everybody's very energetic today. It's very bright in here. There's a lot of humans.
Not right now, though.
Mm-mm, sadly, because they cannot get 571 people plus a cast of a major show, which is very sad, so please support them. Anyway... Back to the narrative, they hear the footsteps coming up from above them in the catwalks, and this is the part that upset Victoria.
Oh god.
Immensely. They separate and search.
No, you don't separate. I'm sorry. Okay. I'm sorry. Rule number one, you don't split up.
No, so anyway, they separate. Please, and Corey went to the backstage area, and Eric went to the front of the house, the lobby area.
I don't know which side would be worse.
Yeah.
I think the backstage. There's too many
Probably things. The backstage. The front area, it's a little, like, fancier, and it's not as industrial chaotic. And cold and concrete. God. So Corey says, this is a quote from him, "While I was back there, I didn't see anything, but I heard a woman scream that sounded like it was directly behind me."
No.
And he doesn't say exactly what happens next, but I'm assuming he had a moment of panic and then said,
"I would hope
I'm not going to tell Eric."
Oh my god.
Either way, he decides not to tell Eric. We met back in the auditorium and Eric said to me, "Must be nothing, man. Let's get this job done." So we went back to work because they're dedicated to their work.
I really respect their dedication. I truly do. I truly, truly do.
But my god.
But my goodness.
It's so... Wow.
Oh,
so,
my God.
This is a great part. So, all this time when I said earlier that they felt a weight in the room, that's just kind of been ongoing to the point where I guess they just stopped noticing it. An hour after that, the weight in the room lifted.
Wait, at the witching hour?
Yes. At about 3 a.m. I just realized that.
Wow.
That would probably be around 3 a.m. The weight of the room lifts and everything feels normal again. Corey looks at Eric and knew immediately that it was time to leave.
I think it would have been time to leave, like, at least an hour ago.
Yeah. But I'm assuming they were on a deadline. I'm assuming it was, like, opening week. I'm assuming
it was, in the industry,
we call it Hell Week. And during Hell Week, you just keep going even if there is a spooky ghosty screaming behind your head.
Okay.
So, Corey says, "As we were heading out of the theater, Eric said to me, 'I didn't tell you before, but while I was in the lobby, I heard a woman scream, sounded like it was coming from right behind me.'"
No.
I looked at him and said, "That's weird, because I didn't tell you, but I heard the same thing backstage, and it sounded like it was coming from right behind me, too."
You know what?
And apparently it's a very vivid memory for both of them.
Oh my gosh.
They still remember it to this day.
Okay. Okay.
And Corey's still there.
Oh, Corey's, he hasn't been spooked off yet.
Yeah, no, Corey's used to it at this point. He is, I believe, the head lighting designer, doing the thing, vibing with the ghosties.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so shout out to Corey.
Shout out again.
And in the same
interview. Also to Eric.
And to Eric, yes, to Eric.
Y'all made some choices that I'm questioning, but I truly respect your dedication to your craft and to your passions. I wish that I had something that I was that dedicated to.
Don't we all? My goodness. I would have left. I would have exited. Another interesting story that Corey also shared in this interview is with the old coworker Katie from the story about Bob McLean. Remember her? They were putting light cues together late at night at the theater, and all of a sudden they heard a loud banging coming from underneath the stage where the spooky basement is.
Nope.
And then the power shut off.
Nope. No. Wait, I thought they turned the power off.
No,
the first
I misworded
time.
It. The power
oh,
shut off.
Oh, God. No.
Apparently they didn't really have time to react to that, because 2 seconds later it snapped back on and everything was just quiet and normal and it felt fine.
I don't like it.
So, yeah. That happened, and then I'm assuming they went, well, let's keep going and pretend that didn't happen. And finally, the last little tidbit here is another story where the individual did not stick around. Another wonderful human
smart
being.
Person.
I mean, they're all smart.
Okay, listen, this a person that's on the same wavelength as me.
This person who is now a father and, you know, is looking
a
out for people.
A person who said flight over fight.
This person said flight over fight. And this person is Ryan Bradburn, a very talented actor and artist based
shout
out of Atlanta. Love this man. Very sweet man. He's known me since I was a baby child. He has built a lot of really cool set pieces. He's a sculptor, puppeteer.
Oh, shoot.
That kind of thing. Yeah, he makes some really cool stuff. So he was building trees one night for a production of Ah Wilderness, which is, I forgot to Google what that's about, but he was building trees, and he had built his frame out of chicken wire with wood and was covering it with fabric dipped in glue and was stapling on the chicken wire and fabric to the wooden frame.
Okay.
And he kept reaching for his stapler and realizing that he had misplaced it. And he just rationalize that as, oh, you know, he's walking all over the stage, he just keeps setting it down, and then when he needs it, it's not where it needs to be. So he puts it on the stool next to him, and he says, it's right here, my stapler is on the stool,
mental
so the
note.
Next time I need it, I will have it. He takes that, he puts that mental note in his head. A few minutes passed, he's working on his tree, he reaches over for the stapler, and it's not on the stool.
No.
He
no,
looks
no,
over,
no.
It's on the other side of the stage. And right when he realizes that something is up, he heard a bang coming from the basement under the stage. And I forgot to mention this before, but in the quote from the blog, it says, I heard the loudest bang coming from the basement under the stage, with 3 exclamation points. And then it says, I didn't clean up or do anything, but left as fast as I could.
Good.
He left. He said,
he said
bye. He left his materials.
Okay.
And exited the theater and went home.
Yeah, well, you see, okay. So there's definitely a difference when there is a ghost just trying to scare you by screaming.
Because,
you know, this whatever, I guess.
This ghost is moving his stuff.
Yeah, he's moving stuff. That means that that ghost can, like, fuck you up.
It can move you.
Yeah.
That's a ghost that can affect things.
No,
physically.
Thank you.
So.
So, good for him to leave.
Yes.
Also, anytime there's banging below you, that's a no.
That's
yeah,
a
no-go.
No. That's a no. You've pissed somebody off.
That's a
like,
no.
Apparently, the ghost did not like this tree and said, I'm going to make... I don't want you to build this tree, Ryan.
Mm-hmm.
It said, no, Ryan.
No, Ryan.
You're not building this tree.
I have a question. Is
yes.
there, like, a way to get to the... Is there a way to, like, go from the stage to the basement? Like, is there a trap door?
There actually is. There
oh,
are
God.
Two trap doors. I forgot about that.
Oh my God.
There are two trap doors, and those are used
there's
for special
two?
Effects. Yes.
Oh, no.
One of them, there was a...
That means you're
there's
not
been
safe.
A, there's been a couple productions where there's been a slide, so people have slid into the floor. And that sounds, like, super fun, but it was during a production of Dracula, and
oh.
that was Dracula's Brides, and they were just sinking into the floor, chasing after a baby. That was very scary.
Huh.
They I was like 10 and my family was like, can Laura go see this? And then they said, yeah, Laura can go see this.
And Laura should not have seen it.
Laura loved it though. And then the other trap door is
that was the result. And that the result of that is what the heck?
What the heck? The other trap door is commonly used during productions of Christmas Carol, which I love their production of Christmas Carol because it's just so edgy and scary. It's spooky. And they always have Marley's ghost come out the floor followed by a bunch of smoke. So
imagine that being a real ghost.
Yeah, that would be terrible.
Coming up after you.
I'm really surprised none of the ghosts have thought of, I mean, maybe they have thought of that, but they just, like, can't.
Maybe they don't need it. Maybe what if they could just, like, you know, float up through? We don't really know ghost physics.
Yeah, I really don't know ghost physics. All I know is that
it could be scary.
Probably, if the ghosts have any kind of, like, politics going on, I feel like Nancy is the head ghost.
Oh my god, yeah.
I feel like Nancy runs the show.
She's in charge.
Nancy just kind of, I feel like, we were saying earlier, she probably holds, like, a ghost council.
Yes.
And goes over, like, the spookings for the month.
Yes.
And it's like, how's everybody doing? Anybody need some, like, ghost support?
Mm-hmm. It's a very slow time for them right now, so mm-hmm. She's having, like, ghost support groups since they can't go out and spook everyone that they want to.
Yeah, they're still probably spooking some people, but they're probably very confused about why there are no people to actively spook.
Yes. So. Speaking of that, if you want to support your local spooker ghosts, donate to the Greenville Theater.
At greenvilletheater.org. That's GREENVILLETHEATRE.org.
Yes, and we will have their information on our social media pages.
Yes. Wonderful theater.
Wonderful theater. I've been there once.
And when they open back up, go see the shows because the production value is amazing.
Yes. I went to one show. Your mom was playing a role in it.
Yeah.
And it was absolutely spectacular. The special effects for a stage show were incredible. Honestly, okay, what if secretly, the ghosts are doing all the special effects alongside the hardworking people.
Yeah, you know, maybe the reason
it's
Corey,
a collaborative effort.
Honestly, you know, Corey is, he runs a lot of the tech. Maybe the reason he's so comfortable with the ghosts is because they are co-workers, and he's just not telling us that.
He's got to keep it a secret. You can't expose the
you
ghosts.
You know, I wouldn't put it past the man. I feel like this is going to drop if it gets to him. He's going to message me and go, no.
With the ghosts. I mean, I know that, you know, all that hard work that goes into that stuff, it's not magical. It's like actual hard work.
It's really
that people are staying till the freaking witching hour to accomplish, which mm-hmm. is incredible. So support theater. So is it time for our heck yes?
It is time for a heck yes.
Heck yeah.
Heck yeah. So
heck yes are very obviously stolen. Not stolen. Borrowed from My Favorite Murder.
Yes.
Like we said, we got this whole idea to actually start a podcast where we talk about serious stuff but have fun with it by listening to those two ladies. So if somehow you know our podcast but don't know theirs, go.
You should go check them out because they're doing great things.
Every week our stories are something that make us go, what the heck? But then at the end of every week, we want to chill out by saying something that made us go, heck yeah.
Heck yeah.
Heck yeah.
Who's going first?
You can go first. You told the story.
All right. My heck yeah is that my air conditioning got fixed yesterday.
Yeah.
After an entire weekend of no air conditioning.
Of sweat.
And that happened to be some of the hottest days.
It was bad.
The weather decided to have a heat advisory while my air conditioning was broken. And then as soon as we got it fixed, the temperature dropped down to a nice, comfortable 80 degrees and it rained.
As life goes. But you know what? Heck yeah, it was fixed.
It was fixed.
It was fixed. So you can survive through August.
I can.
Yes.
It's going to be great. Mm-hmm. So what is your heck yeah?
My heck yeah is this podcast.
Yes.
We have already had hurdles that we've had to overcome by re-recording this episode and the episode that we had recorded after this one, but we're not going to mention that.
You didn't hear that.
But we are, you know, actually doing something, and I'm excited to see where it goes.
I'm excited as well.
I'm just like, honestly, this is a lot of fun. I feel like we have fun conversations. Now everyone gets to listen to us.
We really do.
What a privilege for them.
Yes.
Wow, that sounded really conceited. I'm joking.
Listen, you can toot your own horn. Thank you for listening to the first episode of What the Heck? Strange, spooky, and confusing tales. Make sure to tune in on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Make sure to follow us on Instagram and Twitter. On both of them, our handle is WhatTheHeckCast, as in podcast. And take care of yourselves and
be safe, wash your hands, wear a mask.
And be kind.
Be kind. Take care of each other.
Bye.
Bye.